الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We're now into summer, and summertime is usually the time when many people connect with their families. So people, students who may have been studying elsewhere, will many times come home. Families and relatives will travel within the country, outside the country, to meet up with relatives. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with parents who are still alive, and if you do not live with your parents, usually when you go visit your parents, and especially your mother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve her if she is still alive, she is very happy to see you. And the families in general look forward to your arrival. And usually they plan a big homecoming, right? So other family members, other relatives also come to meet this person who is coming after a long time. And they will prepare special meals, right? Good food. They'll make sure that there's a room that is prepared for them, that's clean and that's set up. And perhaps, especially mothers, will prepare special treats because they know what are the foods that their children like. So it's a very special time. It's a time to reconnect, to rebuild those bonds, to catch up with one another, and make up for all that was missed. And when a child comes home, no matter how old you are, if your mother is alive, you're her child, and you come home and you feel a sense of familiarity, a sense of security being home, and especially with your mother, with all of her love and concern, and she's happy to offer that protection to you. My brothers and sisters, as we enter the blessed month of Ramadan, let's think of it as our homecoming. All year long, for the past year, for the past 11 months, we have been distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to varying degrees. We have been out and about, getting dirty, getting involved in things that He doesn't like getting us. He doesn't like us getting involved in. So now, after a year of being away and being in this state, with Ramadan upon us, it's time to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when we return home after a long time, when relatives see each other after a long time and they go visit one another, many times it is an emotional time. It is an emotional time. So when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, we want this to be an emotional moment for us as well. We want it to be an emotional moment. This is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the gates of mercy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting us to turn towards Him. After all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about the type of relationship He expects from us. And He says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, that those who believe, the believers, they're intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have strong love. They have intense and a very powerful love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is more loving, more merciful towards us than a mother is to her child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more loving and more merciful towards us, more so than a mother is to her child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the holder of mercy, the giver of mercy, has made Ramadan the time of our homecoming, and He is showing us, He is going to be showing us His love and His mercy throughout the entire month, inshaAllah. As every mother, we know, offers her child protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants His servants. Because remember, He loves His servants more than the mother loves her child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wants us to be protected, and He has done something major about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan does something major to offer protection to us. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, has said, إِذَا كَانَ رَمَضَانَ, when Ramadan begins, فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الرَّحْمَةِ, the gates of mercy, and in some narrations, أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, the doors of Jannah, the doors of mercy are opened. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جَهَنَّمَ, the gates of the hellfire are closed. وَسُلْسِلَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the devils are chained up. And this is related by in Sahih Bukhari as well as Sahih Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ties up the troublemaker devils, perhaps all of them, He knows best. And the place where these shayateen are trying to take us, take humanity, especially the believers, okay, because they have a big grudge against us. Right? The shayateen have a big grudge against us because, especially shaitan, Iblis, big grudge against the believers because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has a grudge against Allah, a'yadu billah, and therefore He has a grudge against us as well. So the place where He and His team are trying to take us is also locked up in the month of Ramadan. And the temptations that often lead people to that destination are also not available. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us free choice to believe, to choose between what is right and wrong. But in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, makes it even more easier to go towards that which is right, that which brings His mercy, and He makes it more difficult to go towards what's wrong, which can lead to His anger and the hereafter. Now when we are emotionally attached to someone, when we are emotionally attached with someone, we are impressed. We're impressed, we're touched when they give up something for us and they make a sacrifice for us. Okay, if somebody does something kind for you and you care for that person, you know, you're touched when they make a sacrifice for your sake, for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to give up something for Him as well, and for Him alone. He wants us to give up eating, drinking, sensual pleasures from dawn to sunset. And He wants us to sacrifice all of these and means and these desires only for Him. And only for Him alone, no one else. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, as it is mentioned, Hadith Qudsi, that كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ لَهُ إِلَّا الصِّيَامِ, that every act of the child, the son of Adam, is for him except the fasting. Except the siyam, فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي لِي, that it is exclusively for me and I will reward him for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take ourselves into this act of fasting only for Him, and He says that I am the only one who's going to give the reward for this. Meaning that other acts of worship can be done to please others as well, along with pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not ideal, it should not be done, but it is possible to do them with other intentions as well. For example, prayer, offering salah, charity, recitation of Quran, all of these things can be seen by others. So there can be other motivations for doing these acts of worship. But fasting is something which cannot be seen. Fasting is something which cannot be seen, and thus it is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when it comes to an expression of love or expression of closeness, when we sacrifice, when the sacrifice or a gift is for a group of people together, it doesn't have the same effect. Okay, so for example, if somebody sends you an email, somebody sends you an e-card saying Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak, Eid Mubarak, and you can tell that the to field is blank, okay, which means that they sent a mass email probably BCCing everyone, okay? So then you feel that, okay, this wasn't specially for me, it was nice, but, you know, it's fine. It was sent to everyone and I was one of them as well. Alhamdulillah, okay? But if you notice that letter, that email was sent especially to you, okay, was sent only to you, it was personalized, okay? This person wrote something which they know is only about you, so it's not like a form email, there's no mail merge, nothing like that, but it was specially written for you, and it was sent to you, then it has a different meaning, right? It has a different meaning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to give up something for Him alone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful because He tells us in the Quran as well that He doesn't intend to create hardship for us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about fasting, okay, and He's the wise, the most knowing, the all-knowing, He knows that the believers are going to go through different struggles to satisfy this command of His. Okay, and He says that this is not to create hardship. Okay, the intent is not to just make us suffer. That's not the intent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put benefit in it for ourselves. He wants us to do it for Him, and He has put benefit in us. Many different types of benefits. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, "As-siyamu jannatun," that fasting is a type of shield. Now you may ask, a shield against what? Now there's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking to young men, young guys. Okay, and he suggested to them that you should get married. That they should get married. And then at the end of the hadith, it is stated that if you're not able to get married, if you do not have the means or the ability to get married, then وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ الصَّوْمُ. If you're not able to get married, and yet you still need to control those desires, fast. Fast because it is a shield. So what does that tell us? Fasting breaks desires. Fasting breaks temptations. A shield against angry disputes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you're fasting, when someone is fasting, لا يرفث ولا يسخط فإن سابه أحد أو قاتله فليقل إني صائم. That when any one of you is observing the fast, when someone is fasting, and this is important, because fasting is not just about not eating and not drinking and not smoking. When any of you is observing fast, he should neither indulge in obscene language, nor should he raise his voice. Don't get into arguments. Don't get into debates. Don't get into fights. And if anyone insults him or tries to quarrel with him, he should say, "Inni saim," I am fasting. It's a shield. It's a shield which should protect us from debates, disputes, fights, arguments, vulgar talk, obscene language, things we shouldn't be doing anyway, but especially when we are fasting. Right? So there's that very important spiritual element to fasting as well. That it's not just about what goes into our mouths, but also what comes out of our mouths when we speak as well. What we listen to, what we see. Right? The ideal fast is the fast of the entire body. Okay, so not just the stomach and the mouth, but also the mind, the types of things the mind thinks about, the types of temptations it goes towards, what the eyes take in, what the ears are taking in, because all of these things go straight to our spiritual heart and it has an effect on our spirituality. Right? So this is very, very important. Prophet ﷺ has also told us that it is a shield against the hellfire. That إِنَّمَا الصِّيَامُ جُنَّةٌ يَسْتَجِنَّ بِهَا الْعَبْدُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That fasting is a shield with which a servant protects himself from the fire. Why? Why is fasting a shield against the hellfire? Because if you think about it, if it's done sincerely, it's an expression of love and devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is going through this because they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they want to please Him, because this is what He has commanded. And He has said that I'm going to reward for it. It's only for me, it's for no one else. So this person goes and he does it. This person goes ahead and sacrifices all the desires, the needs, the things which are halal, leaves them alone. Only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it for no other reason. So how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fling a person who loves Him and is devoted to Him, who wants to get close to Him in the hellfire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being more merciful than a mother is to her child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to love us and He's giving an opportunity to love Him as well. So fasting is an act of love, an act of devotion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person works hard, and you know this, in the summertime, like nowadays, if you're outside, you're working in the garden, or you're playing some sports, you're doing some physical activity, what happens? You start sweating. Right? You start sweating, start smelling a bit. Okay? But regardless, even in that state, if your mother saw you after a long time, she will embrace you. A mother will embrace her child, even in a state of, you know, when normally other people wouldn't. Okay? When you're not looking at your greatest, when you're not smelling at your greatest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being more merciful then a mother reassures the believers of his love. And the Prophet ﷺ says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ, by him in whose hand is my soul, لَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ النَّاسِ, that the smell emanating from the mouth of a fasting person due to their being hungry and thirsty is sweeter to Allah than the fragrance of musk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mind the smell. We may not like it. Okay, and actually there's two different types of smells, some of the scholars have mentioned. So one is actually bad breath, and then there's the other smell which emanates from an empty stomach. Okay, there's a difference between the two. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so the smell that emanates from a person's mouth when they're fasting, it's sweet to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it more than the smell of musk. Why? Because it is a result of an action of love towards Him. And finally, at the end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that the one who fasts, the person who fasts, experiences two joys. So he feels pleasure when he breaks the fast. Okay, so when you have that sip of water that goes into your mouth, when you have that date, right, and the juice starts going through your mouth, so he feels pleasure when he breaks the fast, and when he meets his Lord, he is joyful by virtue of his fast, meaning due to the value and the weight of his fast. So it's something which is extremely valuable, extremely heavy on the scales, and extremely beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you can see, everything here about fasting is indicative of the intimate relationship between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the person who is fasting. Now, further proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us every opportunity to be protected is in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that every servant of Allah who observes fasting for one day for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will draw his face away or further from the hellfire to the extent of a distance to be covered in 70 years for one day of fasting. Right? Multiply that by the number of days that we are fasting in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that, inshaAllah. Now when we get closer to Allah, okay, as we get closer, when we get closer to someone, we want to be in a clean, purified state. So through the love and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fasting in the month of Ramadan is also a form of cleansing ourselves, so that we are clean and purified as we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَإِحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمُ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, that he who observes fast during the month of Ramadan with faith, with iman, with complete proper faith, while seeking its reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will have his past sins forgiven. Right? So it's like if you have debt, okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many of us have credit card debt, and bad credit card debt, or if you have other debts, okay, these are problems that we're facing in our communities. Okay, you have debts, and you are told that your debts will be forgiven. You just come and line up. You have to line up for 10 hours, your $60,000 credit card bill will be gone. Who's not going to do it? You have to line up for every day for a month, but your $300,000 mortgage is going to be gone. Who's not going to do it? Is there anyone who's not going to do it? People will line up, will come from all across the country to do it, to get those types of benefits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us that incentive. Similarly, the Prophet also said, مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَإِحْتِسَابًا, whoever stands in prayer, especially in the nights of Ramadan, with faith and expecting a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, all his past sins, her past sins, will be forgiven. So these are all signs of love and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So standing in prayer, listening to the recitation of Quran, whether you understand it or not, this is an act of love and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the greatest moment of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes when a person goes into prostration, when a person goes into sujood, when we put our heads, our minds, our brains on the ground, which is the jewel of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of the creation, the human being, ashraful makhluqat, and the best part of the body, the brain, when it's actually put on the ground with humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the moment when a person is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ لَعَبْدٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ, that the closest position that a person can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at the time of sujood. So that moment when we go into prostration, it's a very special moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be close to Him. He gives us these opportunities. He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to cry to Him, to savor that moment. He's just ready to shower His love and His mercy upon us. He wants us to talk and to ask for what we want. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that Allah has people whom He redeems every day and night in Ramadan. And every Muslim, every day and night, has a prayer that is answered. Every day and night, there are times when the du'as and the supplications are accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, and when my servants ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning me, say, indeed I am near. So my dear brothers and sisters, the whole point is, let us jump at this opportunity to bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, especially the fasting, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, these are limited number of days. They're going to start like this, and then they're going to end up finishing like this as well. And it's not just about abstaining. Let us move on from just thinking that it's about abstaining from things and that's it. No, it's about loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you make the effort of waking up for suhoor, and when you fast and you stand in prayers here, inshallah, in this very hall for our Taraweeh prayers, let's try to do it with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Truly and sincerely feel like you're doing an act of love and devotion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do it knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you an opportunity to get His love, to get close to Him, and that you should want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And my brothers and sisters, let's ask ourselves, how else will you express your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this Ramadan? What are you going to do to make this Ramadan better than last Ramadan? So that it is a stepping stone in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not so that we benefit and then we back up and we erase all our benefits and then we move forward and move back and do the same movement every year, year in, year out. Rather, we use it as a stepping stone for improving our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, improving the state of our hearts. So many Muslim brothers and sisters who witnessed Ramadan last year, and they're no longer here, and they don't have this opportunity anymore. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan our very best Ramadan yet, which is vibrant, which is fulfilling, which is emotional, which uplifts us in every single way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to come out of the blessed month as changed and better individuals. Ameen wa akhidam wa alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. A couple of announcements, inshallah. So regarding the Friday prayers, this is the last Jum'ah prayer that we are offering in this hall.